podcast, Greater Than Yourself, Season 5. Thank you for listening. Do you have a question about sobriety, the 12 steps, sponsorship, or just want to contact someone from the podcast? Email us at podcastgreaterthanyourself@gmail.com or find us on Instagram at dr_silkworth or a podcast greater than yourself. If you're enjoying the podcast, please give us a rating on your podcast app and share the show with anyone who may benefit.
Cool. Okay, welcome back to Podcast Greater Than Yourself. I feel like I'm shouting. My name's John Marley Moore. with me today is Leia O.
Hello, hello, hi.
What's going on?
All good. It's cold, but it's good. Cold is good.
I'm cold.
Kills the virus. Yeah.
Kills the virus. I'm colder than I should be because like I did laundry last night and both of my pajama pants are in the laundry, so I just have like thermals on right now. I'm just like sitting here freezing, so not as warm as I'd usually be in the studio.
Right, because it's a free day.
Yeah.
In the States today. Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of which, how did you celebrate American Thanksgiving in Spain? How did that go?
Yeah, that worldwide holiday.
Are you thankful for us or what?
Oh, definitely so. Yes, very much so.
Great.
So much so that we did not do anything. I had to go to work. My kids had to go to school. I had to pick them up. So thanks, America.
That's like the ultimate form of celebrating American society.
Yeah.
I got to go make money.
Right.
So
be productive.
Yes. Productivity above all. So I am doing these little episodes. I don't know. I said little. They're definitely not little. Just a regular episode. But this is called One Alcoholic Talks with Another Alcoholic.
Grapevine. Yay.
big grapevine energy. Yeah.
Cool.
So basically what we're going to do is to sort of echo my pre-recording introduction, I'm just going to ask you your thoughts on some stuff. You could go as deep into it as you want or be as surface as you want, whatever floats your boat. And if you don't know something, then just say, I fail. I'm wrong. I'm bad at this one.
Okay.
Feel free to say, I have no idea what that is. I don't know what that is. So kind of going to go in three sections here. First section is asking you if you think these things are overrated or underrated.
Mm.
Got it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So first up, overrated or underrated, recovery memes.
Okay. So like I don't follow anymore, maybe a lot of these. I don't know if there's like a whole thing around these. I suppose so. But I first came across recovery memes when someone sent me a fucking sober meme.
Uh-huh.
And then I just like went through all his memes in one afternoon.
And that was what put you off recovery memes forever?
Yeah. No, that was what started the rabbit hole that got me to a podcast Greater Than Yourself, like after a whole weekend of digging.
Oh.
So I think that like at large in Europe, I'd say that they're underrated.
Yeah.
When I send some memes to my sponsees, they're like, some of them are like nonplussed.
Mm-hmm.
And what is this? And then there are some memes which are just really, really niche.
Yeah.
And very difficult to understand. So, and then there's like this whole group of memers who are recovered. And if people who are not recovered or have not taken the steps or have not really like dealt with the first 164 pages will not understand. So I would say the majority of AA is like, what is that? What is 10, 11, and 12, you know?
Yeah, that's what I was just thinking. You're thinking of the ones like, I don't even know if I posted that, but I sent one to the chat that was like Anakin with his legs cut off and Obi-Wan is like, where are you at in 10, 11, and 12?
That scene just gives is such meme stuff material, you know, for everything.
That's the kind of meme, though, where it's like, let's keep that between our 12 friends.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll post that and it'll get 3 likes.
Yeah.
And then I post the, what is it, the picture of the big book, that, and it just sloppily, I photoshopped on it Taylor's version, and it gets like 800 likes in 10 minutes. No. Like, okay, I know what you guys want.
Okay. Yeah, exactly, yeah.
All right, okay, so overrated or underrated, step studies?
Oh, absolutely overrated.
Yeah.
I went to one, thankfully, after taking the steps. So actually after doing this process and having, and you know, becoming recovered. Mm-hmm. And it was just, I was so surprised. And then I was just, I don't know if disgusted is the word, but might be, because it's just a load of nonsense that the people who chair these meetings make other people do, other alcoholics. And like these meetings, the one that I was at, and it followed like, I think a pretty standard routine, is that these meetings are not exclusive to alcoholics. So you get Al-Anons, you get ACAs, you get people who are not in any fellowship. Mm-hmm. And what I saw was just, I mean, it was, I can't even describe it. I have no words for it, because what the chair made the people do was a highlight words. So she started from the very beginning, like we would read word by word from the big book, highlighting to me what sounded like completely random words, you know? It's surprising that she didn't make people, you know, highlight things like she or which or whom, because what, like, you know, allergy, right? You know, and then there was homework. So you had to, the homework was not even writing about these things. The homework was looking up definitions of the words that you highlighted.
God.
And then talking about that in the next session. And if you didn't do your homework after like two meetings, you were kicked out or something like that. So, like, I really wanted to go through with all of the, I think it took like 4 months.
Jesus.
The whole thing. But I couldn't
just to
do
get
it
to, through step one.
Exactly. Yeah. Just to get to step three. So yeah, no, I'd say, I mean, I've had experience only with this one, but I assume that a lot of step studies look like that, especially if they're being done by an unrecovered person.
Oof. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. How do you, it's like teaching a chess grandmaster class when you've only ever played checkers. It's like, how do you how do you study the steps with someone who hasn't done the steps? Yikes. Okay. Okay. Overrated or underrated? Sober celebrities.
Oof. Overrated.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's more of the cheap psychology that you see on the internet. You know, all these quotes, not only the motivational quotes, but like, you know, learn to let go. And like, I have not anymore as much as they used to, but I had a lot of these parenting gurus pop up in my feeds. And it's all just nonsense. I mean, it's just on face value, what they're saying is good, but it just does not translate into everyday workings of, you know, your everyday life. It's the same thing with sober celebrities. So they will say things like, I've been sober for, you know, 75 years, and the moment that I decided not to drink anymore was the best day of my life. And it's like, no shit, man. Thanks. You know? So signed, whatever, Mick Jagger, you know? And it's like, And it's
Mick
like, no,
Jagger,
man.
Sober since 1949.
Yeah, and just about to have a baby, so. I mean, you know.
Oh, okay. All right, so you may have already answered this one inadvertently, but overrated or underrated, going through the big book line by line?
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, overrated. I'm just going to say this.
All right. Okay, overrated or underrated, grand sponsors?
I don't know what that is. Oh, no, I know. I don't know what a service sponsor is. A grand sponsor is the sponsor of your sponsor?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. Like your grandmother, right?
Yes.
So, yeah. No. Okay, I'm just going to do a hot take here. As you say in the States, I've learned this. Hot take. So here's a hot take. I think that sponsors are overrated. Ta-da! Yeah.
Yeah. I would agree.
Meaning, they're great. And it's fantastic that if you meet someone who dedicates time to you to show you what they have been shown, that's absolutely fantastic. And I would not have been able to do this without the help of a sponsor at that time. Absolutely. And after doing the steps and going into sponsoring, like the help I received from various people, really, really important. It really made a difference. It helped so much. It made me the sponsor that I am today, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But after a certain point, you know, you're not sponsor reliant anymore.
Right. Or at least you shouldn't be.
At least you shouldn't be. Yeah. Yeah.
I do like the idea of, I never thought about it. I don't know how, because it's right there in the fucking name, but I never thought about grand sponsor being like a grandmother, but it's like immediately what I thought, I guess maybe because it's, you know, the day after Thanksgiving for me, is the analogy of like the grand sponsor being the one who like refuses to take no and like shoves the meal down your throat and makes you eat plate after plate of food. You know, it's like they're like that with the steps, like in sponsorship circles where people like, you know, give this like weighty role to a grand sponsor as if they're like some guru, you know.
It's yeah,
like, you'll hear them talk like that in meetings, like, well, you know, when my sponsor, you know, suggests I go to my grand sponsor, well, then that's when I know I'm really going to get some spiritual homework or whatever. It's so embarrassing to say that because it's like I literally hear people say things like that. And it's the opposite of what you're talking about. It is absolutely sponsor-dependent sobriety.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. So your sponsor doesn't keep you sober? Is that what you're saying?
My sponsor does not keep me sober, correct, yeah.
Okay, overrated or underrated? Serenity.
Okay, as a concept in AA, absolutely 100% overrated. Yeah. It's like, what does that even mean, serenity? It's just one of those things that keeps being you know, talked about and sort of like played like an old ball. You know, you have this ball which is in tatters already, and it's really like, but everyone just keeps throwing it at each other, like saying, hey, Lynn, this is what we do here, you know, in AA. Right. We throw this ball at each other, and then you have to throw it to someone else, and then it's called serenity. So now that you have it, you're serene, and like you're a newcomer and you have no idea what that means. Serenity, what, like, how do you even achieve that? Right? Yeah. Like people talk about it and it's just a word. It's like graffiti on the wall, right? It has no depth, no meaning. It's just what they say in the book and it's just words. So, right. Yeah. Now, when it comes to serenity that I at certain points have experienced while doing the steps, recently in 11th, in my own experience, the sense of it's always difficult to talk about like spiritual stuff because language has all these limitations, right? But this sense of belonging, I would say, in my like own experience, is that's like that's something that I would probably compare to serenity. And because this is such an like individual, in many and I think in many cases in my life, private practice, for me at least, I would probably say that that's the moments where I feel closest to any concept that I think I understand of as serenity.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't really talk about that at all in AA, not in these terms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's talked about like you were talking about with the sober celebrities. It's more of like, here's this like struggling. Here you go. Be serene, you know, have serenity.
It's like, here's serenity. There you go. Yep.
Like, oh, how do I do that?
Take 5 milliliters of serenity.
Yes.
At night. That's what my sponsor tells me, you know, and that's what I try to do. But it's, you know, progress, not perfection. So yeah. I'm not always good at taking my dose of serenity.
When I get up in the morning, I take 2 caplets of Serenitox and my day goes well. Okay. All right. So overrated or underrated steps 6 and 7?
Oh, this is my favorite topic. Okay, so I think they're really underrated.
Mm-hmm.
I think these are wonderful steps. They're like really an integral part of step 10 afterwards. And if you understand what you're doing when you're going through the steps before step 10, then they just, for me at least, they're just one of the most important parts. And that's like, I talked about this in this podcast already. That's when mm-hmm. my spiritual experience happened between step 6 and 7, particularly 7. And then I talked also about the drop the rock. So, you know, they're underrated, but they're also inflated in a way which, like, they're not meant to be. These are not steps that, well, obviously you can talk about them in philosophical, spiritual, existential terms, like you can talk about any of the steps because that's what we're dealing with, right? We're dealing with, you know, these sort of matters, but there's really no need to write a whole book about them. Right. So inflated in the wrong direction, I'd say, and underrated. Like people say, oh, no, still, you know, they're not, that's not important. Step 9, wow, that's a, and then I feel like, you know, step 6 and 7 are these little, you know, raccoons, they're just looking at step 9 and saying, hey, you know, I want to be step 9 as well, because step 9 is so cool. Or step 12, you know, the giant there. And it's like, but they're not. They're not. They're lovely raccoons. Lovely steps.
They're an important part of the Miyazaki movie you're describing.
Absolutely. If the steps were a Miyazaki movie, if the steps were a Miyazaki movie, the 6 and 7 would be these cute, you know, little companions that are just, you know, underwhelmed by everything. And then and they grow into these big, you know, scary creatures that save the day, ultimately.
Mm. So when you say integral part of step 10, you mean, what do you mean by that? Do you mean about like, because to me, what resonates with me when you say that, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but what it feels like to me is the reminder and the recognition and the affirmation that I am not the power and it's not up to me to work on that stuff. And it's like, it's just like in the morning when I wake up at 11, I'm making this like conscious decision to commit to this path. I'm not, what I'm not doing is like, okay, I'm going to be a good little dude today and I'm going to not want to drink and I'm going to, you know what I mean? It's like, I'm not deciding all these things. All I'm deciding is I'm going to commit to be on the spiritual way of life today. So is it that same kind of idea?
It's that, but it's also like when I go through the columns in 10, in the inventory and I get to 4 and I start seeing all these, you know, parts of self that are blocking me, and I pray for God to remove them, and like the sense of it doesn't happen always, and it doesn't happen with like the first step 10 that I need to do on some of the issues that I like, you know, happen in daily life, but the sense of like ease and comfort really that comes with that prayer, it's for me at least, it's almost always instantaneous.
Hell yeah. Cool. Okay. Overrated or underrated? The meeting after the meeting.
What's that?
This is one where I was like, I don't know if this translates. So this is a thing in the States that people say where they're like, yeah, I like to, I love the meetings, but I'm really here for the meeting after the meeting. Like they're talking about like fellowship and hanging out and, you know, chatting and having coffee and putting chairs away, and could be any number of things. Could be looking for sponsees, could be trying to get people's phone numbers. It could be any number of things, but it's like, and I think they do it on Zoom meetings too. I've heard that where they're like, stick around for the meeting after the meeting.
Oh, for the fellowship.
Yeah.
There will be fellowship after the
yes,
meeting.
So that's what we're talking about.
It's always so uncomfortable. I mean, people.
I just made a very strange noise trying not to spit soda all over my computer.
It's like for the people who are there, who have been there for a long time, that might be the highlight of their meeting, you know, because they've heard their shares and their own voice for so long now that they're like, okay, I know what this person's going to say and I know what I'm going to say. I know all these topics by heart. Mm-hmm. So afterwards, like they have a moment of, I don't know, maybe a bit of like relaxation or whatever. But for the newcomer or for the people who are there the first time, I know for me it was just very deeply uncomfortable and awkward.
Yeah. Okay.
Because it's like, oh, you're the newcomer. You're the most important person in the room until the meeting ends. And then it's like, ah, Maria, hello, how are you? Yes. And you're like, I'll just slowly slide away.
Right. Gregory, did your dog get better? It's like, huh?
Yeah. How's your niece?
Especially on Zoom, because it's like you can hear one fucking voice coherently on Zoom at a time, and that's like it's just this cacophony of other people asking about Gregory's dog. Okay. Yeah. Anyway. All right. Overrated or underrated? Gratitude.
And again, it's like there's the gratitude in the meetings, just like the serenity part, and there's the gratitude that I, you know, might feel when I do the steps daily, right, for whatever, or even just walking down the street, right, or I don't know, coming home and parking my car, right, at home. It just sort of happens, you know, these little things where these little moments that were just absolutely not there before the steps, but they do come up. And the more I go into the practice of the steps, the more often they do happen. But in the meetings, it's like, you can see that the person who's sharing about gratitude is really miserable because they also told you. They said, you know, like, very difficult moment. My wife's left me. My kids hate me, you know, and you see the, like the struggle and you see the suffering and it is heartbreaking. And then they're like, right. But because they're in this meeting, which is called the gratitude meeting, and the topic is gratitude. So then they're like, they get themselves out of that hole and they're like, yeah, but I'm also grateful to be here.
Right.
And it's such an anticlimax because it's like, no, man, that's not what you were talking about. It's just gratitude, just like serenity, doesn't happen because we talk about it in meetings, you know?
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Okay. Last one. overrated or underrated? The ninth step promises.
Okay, so the ninth step promises. The promises, you mean?
Yes. The promises, TM.
I think they're actually underrated, mm-hmm. because we repeat them so many times that the words just lose their sense and their meaning.
Yeah.
And in turn, when I did my ninth step, all of those, just, you know, the moment I started on my ninth step, all of those just became true for me. And, you know, that whole process, that God started working in my life and in the way in which, you know, they describe it in the book.
Mm-hmm.
So when I first came to AA and I heard these promises over and over again, because I did, you know, 120 meetings in 90 days.
Yeah.
I was like, how does this happen? What is this?
Right.
Like, how do you get there? You know? And they always materialize.
Keep coming back.
Yeah, exactly. It's like they always materialize when you work for them. Okay, I'm ready to do the work. Tell me what to do. They're not fucking materializing. They're not. And they're not. And again, and again, and again. And what did you guys do to, you know, like this question keeps coming up in your head. Like, what did you guys do to make all of this half page happen to you? Because it sure as hell isn't happening to me as I sit here, you know?
I'm going to give you a little pushback there. Were you calling enough alcoholics?
Maybe not at that time. That's okay. That's where it went. That's where I wasn't doing the program. I wasn't using my toolkit.
Now, is this because the phone weighed 500 pounds? Is that what was?
Oh yeah, I couldn't pick it up from the table. Yeah.
Is that? I wonder if that's a roomism, an AA platitude that translates into Spanish,
and then into the English speaking meetings in Europe as well.
Okay,
so it's
okay.
Transatlantic, like NATO,
so at least,
like nuclear weapons.
It at least transcends cultures.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. All right, so we're going to get into some power rankings. So
okay. For
this first section, I want to ask you your top tier. So this is like, doesn't necessarily have to be the absolute best, but in your top tier, right?
Mm.
So top tier, caffeinated beverage.
Ooh, no. Wait, top tier?
Yeah.
What does that mean? Where do I place that? Is that on a scale from 0 to 10?
Like 10, the best. So bottom tier would be 0, top tier would be 10.
Okay, 0. I'm just a coffee person.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. So what is your top tier?
What is my top? Coffee.
Coffee. Okay, just regular coffee.
Did I pass? Was that what I was supposed to say, right?
I told you the only way to fail is if you don't have an opinion.
Okay, coffee, 10.
All right, nailed it. Okay. For a second there, I was like, wait, I've never heard about you hating caffeine. Okay, all right.
Do you know what coffee is?
Right.
Do you, like,
wait,
Leia,
does
have you ever
transcend culture?
Do you understand coffee? I'm speaking to you as an American. Do you understand coffee?
I'm gonna bean-splain you here. Okay. Okay, top tier AA speaker. So this could be a famous AA speaker. This could be somebody you heard in a meeting once. This could be a type of person you hear share, whatever.
Okay, so I never got into speaker tapes. Like I did the whole Sandy B, Joe and Charlie thing. They sounded like Californian porn stars to me at the beginning. I was like, what am I listening? But I mean, I just, people would tell me, listen to speaker tapes when you need to drink. I'm sorry. Yes. Oh my God. I remember that. It's true. Wow. Someone told me that once. And so I did. And maybe that's what put me off speaker tapes. But
maybe that was the tool missing from the toolbox.
That was the tool that I did not use. that's why I wanted to drink because my toolbox wasn't open. So what I eventually got hooked on was fucking sober. No, was was
fucking sober's rolling in his grave right now.
Poor fucking sober.
Rest in peace.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So the first two people I'd say that I really hooked onto was Recovery Radio by Clay, and then your podcast. That was what really made me like. That was where I started really listening to what you guys were saying and thinking. Okay, I don't understand shit, but this sounds interesting. Mm. Also. I found that like what you guys were saying in your podcast was delivered also in a way which I found really like intriguing, because it wasn't in a setting where there were people clapping. Yay, Sandy B, amazing, right?
My favorite it wasn't porn star
from California, but but it wasn't like there was. It just wasn't a set thing, you know, it wasn't a fixed thing. And also what I found, what drew me to really the message that, you know, you transmitted in the podcast was that you were speaking about all of this in a very like funny way, you know, I don't want to say lighthearted because it isn't always the case. But it was just a very natural, you know, spontaneous way of talking about stuff that was very like dear to my heart at that time. I hadn't found that in speaker tapes. Speaker tapes were always like, and I, like I say, I never really like delved into speaker tape culture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So top tier, a podcast greater than yourself. There you go.
Okay, perfect.
Ta-da!
Okay. That's what I've been waiting for with all of these. okay. All right. Top tier prayer.
Top tier prayer. I'd have to go with, well, the seventh step prayer. That's not going to be it. Yeah. And I use it quite often, actually. But also the 11th step prayer. And recently, I've been reading, maybe not a lot, but some books written by Jungian analysts.
Mm-hmm.
And they talk a lot about being present. And I know that that's another like slogan type of thing, you know, like gratitude, being present. Ooh, be present in every moment. but that's one of my prayers recently.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah.
Asking God to be present in these shoes. Okay, that's where I go into details. I go like, these are my shoes, God.
These are my shoes. There are many like them, but these are mine. I do the same thing. I got to a point where it was like I'm writing inventory on situations. Like on the same situations, like being around certain people or being in certain settings. And I was feeling like I was like butting up against a wall. And something that really helped me there was like, you know, using the pause, right? But then like in that pause, really asking, like, make me present in this place that I'm in right here. And, you know, help me be who I should be here right now for this, you know?
Yeah.
Specifically when going into these things. And I feel like I'm much more useful, you know?
Yeah.
When that's my focus.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that that's one of those things like gratitude or serenity where it's like, yeah, you know, like you said, you'll hear it thrown around and it's like, well, you know, I thought about this yesterday. Where there's any number of like little tiny things. Like if you were to ask me you know, if some new person were to ask me, well, how did you stop doing this or that, you know, and I would just say, you know, and I think we've all heard stuff like this in meetings, like somebody goes, yeah, well, you know, I take a different route to work today. And, you know, and I do that, you know what I mean? Some random little thing, right? And it's like, you know, a 2 second part of like a 5 minute story. And that 5 minute story is like the boiled down version of 2 years of like 10 and 11 work, you know, around something. And, but then it's just like, yeah, well, what it came down to was, you know, this little tiny bit is the only thing the new guy in the room heard. And because I'm talking about this like lofty years long thing in a very boiled down way, they hear that and they're like, all I got to do to stop using and drinking is just take a different route to work.
Put unmatching socks in the morning. Yes. That's what this is about. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So I think it becomes one of those things where you're like, yeah, I got to be present. It's like, oh, that's it. That's all. It's just like, well, I don't know. You know, when I was like dope sick every 9 hours, I don't really think being present was the problem.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Top tier meeting format.
Top tier meeting format. I don't know if I have a top tier meeting format, actually.
May I suggest one?
Like, I go to meetings.
I was going to say Southern California porn star speaker tape meeting.
That is definitely, that's, you know.
What's your favorite type of meeting you go to? See, if you ask me, I would hesitate longer than you are, I think.
There you go. But like, okay. Hot take.
Hot, take it.
Okay. I fucking hate AA meetings, man. I'm sorry.
I do too.
I know people and like, really? Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Like my sponsees, I have sponsees who adore living sober meetings. I think that's a failure of me as a sponsor. That's on me.
You should send them to your grand sponsor so your force feed them other
I'm
types
gonna
of
suggest
meetings.
A service sponsor, whatever the fuck that is.
Get them a service sponsor. No, I thought you knew that I hate meetings. Okay. You were joking. All right. Yeah. No, it's you know what I learned recently though? I haven't shared this on the show. It's not me, it's the meetings. That's what I learned. But I'll tell you the way that I learned that. So I have a neurological condition. I'm going to stay kind of vague for this podcast. You and I've discussed it. But this is something that's like, I'm diagnosed when I'm like 9 years old and untreated for decades. And that causes a lot of problems. So,
right.
So being, you know, years and years recovered and doing inventory around stuff and, you know, getting to a place where I'm just like, wow, I'm really not functioning well with this disorder I have. I started pursuing therapy around that, and that helped to an extent, and trying different modalities of treatment, you know, helped some extent, whatever. But several months ago, this national association announced that they were starting an adult support group, the only one. for adults for this thing, right? Because it's an issue that's diagnosed in children usually. So I go to this thing, right? And this support group, it's on Zoom. The format, like if you didn't hear what we were talking about, you would just be like, oh, this is just like an AA meeting. The format is exactly the same, right? The vulnerability is exactly the same. The depth and weight of exchanging firsthand practical experience and knowledge with other people suffering from the same thing and in recovery for the same thing, exactly the same, right?
It's called sharing. Sharing. You right, share.
Yes. What is not the same is that I feel completely comfortable there and I feel completely uncomfortable in AA meetings.
Mm.
And so for me, and this is just me, I have learned that it is the meetings. It is not me. It's not about me. But that doesn't mean that I never go to AA meetings. Mm-hmm. That just means that I am now in a place where I'm like, oh, I have more context, I have more information, and I have more personal firsthand experience that shows me this is not a failing of me. This is, and again, how it took me this many years to realize this is a failing of the fellowship. Meetings are absolutely completely fucking fucked, right? And so it's okay to feel like shit in a meeting, to feel like, God, I am so uncomfortable. And that doesn't keep me from going to meetings. It just means that, like, when there's an instance where I'm like, yeah, you know what? I really don't want to go sit through this meeting. Or, like, I'm at a meeting and I'm like, oh, this is going to be a speaker meeting now. And no one's going to have an opportunity to say that they need help. So I'm just going to leave, right? Like,
right.
I'm going to go be helpful to my family. I'm going to go take out the garbage and walk the dog and change a diaper. Right. Whatever the fuck I'm going to do.
Yeah.
I don't give myself shit for that. Because that's like making myself go be inserted into the most like melodramatic nightmare festival ever. And then being like, why do I not want to be here? Where, how am I failing? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's just like, fuck that shit, dude. That is not, I'm not treating myself with love and kindness by forcing myself to just check off a box that I went to a meeting.
Yeah. Yeah, anyway. Absolutely. Yeah.
So that's my fucking 15 cents. Okay. So, all right. Top tier, big book chapter.
Top tier. Oh, wow. You know what? It changes.
Yeah.
It's not like I have absolutely one. No, I always thought that, yeah, I need to, like, what you said, always have an opinion, right? that's something that the steps have also given me, you know? But at the beginning, for sure, it was how it works. Is it how it works? Page 60 to 63.
Mm-hmm. Step 3 stuff.
Step three, four, and so on. But right now, I think it's actually working with others.
Nice. Do you want to say more about the steps and opinions?
The steps and opinions?
Well, you said needing to have an opinion and something that the steps
So, you know what? In the meetings, they say, I need to remain teachable, and coming here shows me how to remain teachable. And it's like, what the fuck does that mean? What it's, and also it's just such a horrible word in English, teachable. It's like, oof, blah. But
I think you need to slap a little gratitude on that.
Right? Where's your gratitude pill? Take your gratitude pill. I forgot what I wanted to say. But
you were talking about how gross a word teachable is.
Right. And I got hung up on that. But that's how just my brain works. But when people say in meeting things like, it's okay not to know, you know, you don't have to know always. And the thing is just it's true. But again, me on my own willpower, I need to know. Like, but it's not only that I need to know, I need to have the final say. Me, right? Yeah. Not, it's that inflated ego, which goes, like, absolutely out of proportion where, you know, where I think I am God. Even if I don't directly admit it to myself, that's what it really means, you know? So, the steps... you know, especially when in step three, right, where you're like, okay, I'm fucked, and this is the way. Like, this is here. This is how I do it. This is how I begin to do it. These kind of U-turns, you know, that the steps make you do with your, like, your own personality, I think that, like, they just really sort of changed my outlook forever on these type of things. So I go into God mode and I think, oh, I'm going to deconstruct this whole Gaza-Israel thing, and I'm going to know, mm-hmm. you know, like, I'm going to be able to say with certainty something. But I can't. Right. Not with that, not with anything else.
Right.
And that's just okay. That's where I'm at. That's okay. Like, I don't need to know. And I don't need to have the last say. I don't. Oh. And so that happened somehow, you know, with practicing. It didn't happen at the beginning. The beginning was a different type of story with the steps. It was really the spiritual experience, lightning thing. Mm-hmm. But with time and with consistency, that's where I arrived at with the steps. Hell yeah. I'm teachable. I am teachable.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Okay. All right. Last top tier here. Top tier personal story from the big book.
The what?
Personal story. So from cover to cover, it could be an anecdote in the first 64, whatever.
Oh, okay. Okay. So there's one at the beginning of this businessman, I think they don't give the name, where he, I think I've, I don't know if I've mentioned that on this podcast or when I was talking to Senator Ted C, but where there's this guy, he's a businessman. Yeah. So he retires at 55. Mm-hmm. First off, wow. America of the 40s. Like, wow, go USA.
Bought a house for $75.
Fuck yeah. 55 years old, retired. Go, man. So basically, he realizes he's an alcoholic, mm-hmm. and he stops drinking. He says, I'm not going to drink because it interferes so much with my life, with my family and with my work, and I want to be successful, productive, you know, whatever Protestant thing, member of community, da-da-da. So I'm just not going to drink. And he doesn't for 20 years. Or what is it, 25 years. Mm-hmm. And then he retires at 55. I always feel like I need to underline at 55. And he basically drinks himself to death in 4 years.
Yeah.
Because he just lets go. Mm-hmm. You know, he's been holding it for so long on his own willpower. Imagine the willpower, right? So right. He's been doing that for 25 years, but he's still an alcoholic. He still needs that medicine. He still needs the spiritual experience. He needs the steps. He needs to work with others. He doesn't know it. And unfortunately, he will never know it. Mm-hmm. It's such a telling story because I remember it just, you know, I feel it also like close to, not to my experience because I drank for 25 years, but I remember thinking, I can moderate now and maybe even stop before I did the steps. And before I came to AA, actually, I can maybe moderate and stop. This was after a particularly drunk summer 3 years ago, three years ago, where really just it was bad. And I remember thinking I could maybe just not drink so much every day or every second day when the hangover lifted. Mm-hmm. Maybe I can do that on the weekends, right? So I tried that for a while. And when I read that story, when I came to AA, it was like, yeah, this is what I want to do. This is what I want to do. I want to get my kids out of the house, you know? My husband somewhere, doesn't really matter, you know? It doesn't matter. You know, wherever. In the basement, playing video games. Mm-hmm. And I will just be drunk every day, blissfully drunk mm-hmm. every day and not worry about a thing. Right. So they were actually, I felt when I read that story that they were really talking about me. Like I was like, I can hold this, but when I let go, it's going to be every fucking day. I'm not going to stop.
Yeah. Yeah. My version of that was always like, well, when I'm old, then I'll do heroin. Yeah. You know, it's like, well,
I talk about that with my husband.
Might as well just do it now.
Yeah. It's like, why wait?
Hungry? Why wait? Try heroin. Okay. All right. Now we're going to do bottom tier. So this is, we just did top tier.
So is that like the other way around? Bottom
tier. Okay. Bottom tier caffeinated beverage. Is everything except coffee? Is that what you're...
Yes. I'm sorry. It's just all this coffee-like things in plastic containers or cans. It's just... Is Red Bull a caffeinated drink?
Yeah.
Okay, so that was only acceptable with vodka.
Right.
But what that did was just... It just I don't know what that did. It was like heroin to me. It wiped me. I mean, I lost consciousness. I was walking and talking, but like no zombie. Terrible. And then it really like does really, really bad stuff to your insides. Yeah. Ooh, for days. No, nothing. No. Blech. No.
Okay. All right. Bottom tier AA speaker.
I don't know. Like, I don't, you know, I don't have enough material to, you know, study material to actually make an opinion. I just don't listen to speaker tapes.
Yeah. Okay. Mm. All right. Bottom tier prayer.
Bottom tier prayer.
That question cracks me up. I don't know why.
Yeah, it's like,
what a weird question.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never considered actually prayers in that way. It's just they either I hate the word resonate, but they either like there's something there or there's not. So right. Yeah. I don't know. I used to hate is maybe not the word, but I really disliked the Lord's Prayer.
Mm-hmm.
But I looked at it again, like I think I like to think with fresh eyes after the steps, and it's not half that bad. It's not my favorite prayer, but it's not that bad. So I guess I don't have, what is it? Bottom tier, low tier?
Yeah, bottom tier.
Yeah. Okay. Prayer. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Bottom tier meeting format.
Oof, again, I'll pass. No idea. Like all of them. I'm sorry. Just there are two that I liked where I was like, okay, there's stuff going on here, right? There's people willing to help and it's clear.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the front porch meeting.
Oh, the two front porch live meetings.
But also I think I've been to one Black Rhinos, because the Black Rhinos International Big Book Study. What is it? Is it a Big Book Study meeting? Sure. I was like, oh no, the Black Rhinos International meeting is at 2 a.m. my time.
Yeah.
So kinda unfortunately. Hard. Oh, and I went to another one, and I'm going to give these guys a moment here in. Was it Iceland? Was it Norway? A meeting based on the format of Black Rhinos.
Mm-hmm.
It's on Tuesdays at 8:30 p.m. Central European time.
Mm-hmm.
That meeting was great. There were very few people there, but that meeting is so good and so focused on helping others.
Nice.
Very, very nice meeting. And also they speak with, you know, Nordic accents in English. Fantastic. And they have... these very, very long names. It's just, it's a blast.
That sounds exciting. Love it. Okay. Bottom tier big book chapter.
Oof. Let me think. The chapter that I almost never look at, but I don't know if it's a bottom tier. I have my big book here, so I'm just gonna
let me just see where there's zero highlight.
No, yeah. Okay, that's easy. Zero highlight to employers. There's no highlight in employers. So. Yeah, I mean, even to wives is like full of under. Yeah. Yeah, to I think to employers was like, this is not relatable, not only relatable, but not even, I think, maybe useful nowadays. We just don't, it's a great testament of how people worked and how people lived.
Yeah. It is
in
a
the
relic.
40s.
Yeah.
In the annals of of American history.
Right.
But yeah, I guess that's the, that would be the one, yeah.
Okay. All right, last one. Bottom tier personal story from the Big Book. So cover to cover, anywhere in the book.
Bottom tier. I'm thinking hard. Bill's story. No, that's a joke.
Somebody said like, that.
No idea.
Somebody said bottom tier chapter and personal story, Bill's story.
Not a story. I mean, the stories that that come to mind are none of them go to the bottom tier. And oh yeah, I should make a caveat here. I have not read any of the stories in the back.
Okay. Pardon,
after 164. Okay, so cool. Like I have no idea.
I know
something
had for some reason. I don't know.
Yeah. No.
You're just like such a voracious reader. I was like, yeah, probably. Probably read it just for a goof.
No. Yeah, I went to some meetings, but I don't remember.
Right.
I don't. It's just they didn't make an impression at all. There's one that talks about the keys of the kingdom,
yeah,
where we have been given the keys of the kingdom. I went to a meeting every Thursday where they would repeat that. So I'm like, we have been given the keys of the kingdom. No idea what that meant. You know, like what the fuck? What kid? Like what?
Let yourself in. Make yourself at home.
Abracadabra, you know, open sesame, whatever, like, ooh, the king of my castle. No, it was just, So I guess that there are some things, not a story as such, but there are some moments in, what is it, the family afterward, I think that great a little bit, where they talk about, oh, because dad this and dad that, and it's like, well, dad should get his shit together. You know, it's that sort of sometimes is a bit to me like I know that, you know, we look beyond the words in the Big Book and even the word God, right? Or he and all of that. Like, none of that matters. It's the spirit of the thing, I know. But all this dad this and dad that makes, you know, just sometimes a bit hard for me to read, I guess.
Yeah, I think it sort of leans into coddling territory and some of that
a little bit. It's like, and also, you know, when they talk about you know, invite this alcoholic to your home and it doesn't, all these, you know, burnt mattresses and the piano keys, ripped piano keys and all that, it's like, are your kids seeing this? Like, haven't you just done this, all of this to them repeatedly for like ever? You know, like I'm not saying that like we shouldn't help people, but maybe, you know, put the piano and the kids away somewhere. You know what I mean? It feels that part feels a bit okay, hot take. I do not let people into my house that I don't know to sleep in the room next to my kids and, you know, crash the piano. I don't have a piano, just in case. But
yeah, I mean, I think that's a pretty normal take.
Yeah, right. I just love the word hot take. And yeah. Damn hot take. Like, I use every opportunity to say damn hot take.
I love that. Okay. All right, last thing here. Please describe your experience in AA in one word.
I'd say lost.
Okay.
There's always, for me, like my journey, my journey in AA is, it's split into two very Very distinctly, I'd say. It's like the beginning of The Dragon Prince, where the map is... you haven't seen that yet. Yeah, so when your kid is old enough... when your kid is old enough, it's the woke series of Netflix.
Hooray!
Yeah. More. Give me more. More of that. So there's like a definite limiting moment there, mm-hmm. where there is sort of like a border, the Dragon Prince, where there's a clear before and after. So if we would make a meme of like Britney Spears and me before, no, I'm joking. It's just there's a moment where I was surrounded by people who meant well, and who I really think believed they were helping me, and also some of them believed to be my friend, and I believe myself to be theirs as well. That changed, unfortunately, when I decided to do the steps from the big book. Funny that. Like, you decide to do something, and people are like, the fuck are you doing? And right. It's the thing that's written in the, like, you know, basic text of this thing that you're sharing with these people. So that's, I was really groping around it, whistling in the dark. By the way, Jungian analysts, and I think that comes directly from Jung, Jungian analysts use the phrase whistling in the dark. But anyway, so that was where, when I was really like looking for the solution and trying out all these different things that were prescribed in AA. So that's the part where I was lost. And then afterwards, it's just a whole different chapter. Yeah. It's like a whole different, it's just something completely, completely different.
Right.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Awesome. I'm glad to be a part of it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, this is great. Thank you for having this chat with me.
Thanks a lot for having me.
Yeah.
Cheers.
So cool.
This has been a podcast Greater Than Yourself.
A podcast Greater Than Yourself was created by recovered alcoholics. All involved in the creation of this podcast are active members of Alcoholics Anonymous who wish to carry the message of our own recovery to those who still suffer. We do not claim to represent Alcoholics Anonymous. All comments are from our own experiences as alcoholics who have recovered by following the directions for the 12 steps found in the book Alcoholics Anonymous. Thanks for listening.